Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Testimony begins today in the retrial of a Brockton murder case from 3 decades ago. Back on trial is Darrell Diamond Jones, whose original conviction was overturned 1.5 years ago. That was the result of a WBUR investigation that showed racial bias among jurors and the result of a ruling that a key piece of evidence had been deliberately doctored by police. 30-plus years later, many witnesses are no longer available. Some are dead, others refuse to testify, and the defense has just received evidence that should have been shared with it 34 years ago. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman has been following the case for a few years now and is here with us this morning to tell us what happens next. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Bob.
So first off, what's this box of evidence that's just turned up and has just been turned over to the defense?
Yeah, a lot of drama. What they found in the box was a bombshell, but in fact, the box itself is a bombshell. Nobody knew existed. It wasn't used in the original trial, and Jones's defense team has been searching for other evidence for well over 5 years. They've been asking the Plymouth DA and the Brockton police over and over and over again that did they have any other evidence? They said they didn't, but yesterday, just as everyone had been leaving the courtroom, the place was closing down, Judge C.J. Moriarty learned that from the defense that they had a new box, and he was flabbergasted, and so, it seems, was Plymouth prosecutor Jessica Kenny.
So where'd they find this box of evidence that's been missing all these years?
Apparently, it was in the state police barracks in Middleboro. Nobody seems to know how it got there. It was found about a month ago, and Jones's attorney, who got him a new trial back 1.5 years ago, says she just got to open it 2 days ago.
And tell us what's in this box.
That's the $64 billion question. It contains seemingly 7 photos and the medical examiner's report from 1985 when the autopsy of the victim, Guillermo Rodriguez, was done.
Well, tell us how these autopsy photos and this report might help the defense.
Well, it might help the defense. Back in 1985, all of the eyewitnesses who took the stand said the shooter was significantly shorter than the victim, as much as a head shorter. Well, Jones is 6 feet even. We know that because of a photo that was taken of him when he was arrested. Now we know from the report and the autopsy pictures that the victim was 6'1", so just 1 inch shorter. That's not a substantial difference. Certainly hard to see 1 inch difference from a car on a dark, rainy night. Now, Darrell Jones served 32 years in prison before he was released, and with the discovery of this evidence, Bob, you can imagine, he is furious with the prosecutor.
And you've been letting me go to trial, and all the witnesses told you it was a short guy, and you knew this the whole time, and you hold it back. Key evidence to prove the height difference, and you knew that the whole time.
Bruce, doesn't all this lead to the question of whether there might be other evidence that's been withheld?
Oh, yeah. Judge Moriarty raised that point himself, saying that this discovery is, quote, disconcerting. He's a man of he chooses his words very carefully. He knew Jones has always insisted that police made a videotape of him after he was arrested and that he said it would show he didn't commit the murder. But Brockton and Plymouth County's officials said they didn't have it. They don't have it. But now, well, maybe. Well, maybe it really does exist.
All right, let me ask about witnesses who are refusing to testify in this new trial 34 years later.
Mm-hmm. In a pretrial hearing last week, 3 key prosecution witnesses from the original trial said they couldn't remember back then, and Judge Moriarty thought they were lying and faking their forgetfulness to help Jones. He told them to get lawyers, and now the 3 witnesses are refusing to testify. They're taking the Fifth Amendment, so now the prosecutor is going to have to read their testimony from 34 years ago to the new jury.
Is that permitted in court?
Yeah, it seems the rules of evidence says it can be done.
Well, if you're on the defense, how do you cross-examine a piece of paper? How do you cross-examine someone who actually isn't in a witness chair?
That's exactly what the defense is saying. And remember, Jones's conviction was overturned because the first trial was found to be unjust. I spoke with an attorney, Stephanie Roberts Hartung. She's a professor at Northeastern School of Law.
It's hard to fathom what a new trial means, you know, how it's a meaningful remedy to a wrongful conviction if the prosecutor is allowed to just replay the trial that resulted in a conviction the first time around.
All right. And finally, Bruce, we're at today. There's been a jury selected after 3 days of interviewing prospective jurors, and trial begins.
Yes. They chose 17 jurors, but just two are people of color. Durrell Jones is African American. So the defense claims it's not racially representative of the county. And this morning, one juror may be unseated. He may have lied to the court when he was interviewed about what he knew about the case. So Durrell Jones now says he's anxious to get his real day in court. He's been waiting for over 3 decades.
And now the judge himself, for him to be the judge and say he has the same concerns now about this mess, tells you a lot. You understand that? They're confusing their own judge where the judge is like, this case is getting crazy. It is crazy because it's intentional.
So, Bob, that's Durrell Jones yesterday outside of the Plymouth Trial Courthouse. Today, his retrial from 1986 gets underway.
All right. And WBUR's Bruce Gellerman will be in court following the action today. Bruce, thanks a lot for joining us this morning.
You're welcome, Bob.